As election time rolls around, what do Christians and pro-life people need to do?
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Brothers and sisters, Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life, coming to you on Saturday morning, the 3rd of November, 2018, for another pro-life MAGA broadcast. MAGA, Make America Great Again. That's what we're doing in this election. That's what we're doing by electing pro-life members to the House of Representatives, by electing pro-life men and women to the United States Senate, by electing pro-life governors, attorneys general, lieutenant governors, and other statewide officers across the country, by electing men and women to the state legislatures who will advance the cause of life. And in all of these cases, people who will support and uphold the Constitution of the United States as their oath of office requires them to do. The Constitution, as written by our founders, not as reinvented by some kind of wacko liberal idea in 2018. Brothers and sisters, there are so many dimensions of this election that we have been reviewing with you on these pro-life MAGA broadcasts and that we will continue reviewing with you today, tomorrow, Monday, and indeed also Tuesday, Election Day. Let me talk to you about some of our plans, and I don't want to speak specifically to you today about some pro-life ballot initiatives that are being considered by voters in various states in this Tuesday's election, because it's not only that we're choosing candidates, we are also choosing certain measures, certain constitutional amendments, and other provisions that can protect and advance the right to life of the children in the womb. We are, but first of all, in regard to our plans, we are going to have, as we have been doing, every day at this time, 10 a.m. Eastern, and then again at 9 p.m. Eastern time, a broadcast right here and delving at length into information and inspiration that we need to consider for this election. This morning, as I said, we're going to talk about some ballot initiatives. This evening, we're going to talk about 10 responses to pro-abortion politicians. And of course, the idea there, the goal is not that, or the expectation is not that this politician will change his or her mind on abortion in these last 3 days before the election. The goal is that voters will change their minds about voting for them in these last 3 days before the election. Voters who can hear the responses we will give to the silly arguments that some public officials give for killing some of the public rather than serving them. We will continue then tomorrow with a special time of prayer. We want to call you and invite you, and please spread the word about this, a special time of prayer at this very hour, 10 a.m. tomorrow, Sunday, November 4th. We will pray for the elections. And then tomorrow night, we will be talking about Death of a Nation by Dinesh D'Souza, a powerful book and movie, talking about the actual origins and nature of the Democrat Party. That is going to be a very important conversation. Monday morning at 10 o'clock, we will be talking about the questions that people like you have sent in regard to the election. And it'll be a period of AMA, Ask Me Anything, election related, of course, at this particular point in time. And we'll answer questions that have come in about any of the classes or information that we have provided. You can submit those questions here, of course, right on this Facebook page. And then Monday night, we will talk more about the principles of voting, voting with a clear conscience, what are the final things we need to know and do. And then on Tuesday, Election Day, it will be an exhortation to believers. What we have done in the past, speaking about believers, is that yesterday I sent out a special message for the churches at our 10 a.m. broadcast. And that, of course, is available here. And all these broadcasts are available here, not only here on the Facebook page, but at ProLifeMAGA.com, ProLifeMAGA.com. You can see the various lessons, classes, and talks that we've been giving. So a lot going on, a lot that we need your help to do, even if you've already voted, the job's not finished. Help us to reach other voters with helpful information and motivation to get out there to the polls. Well, let's talk about ballot initiatives or ballot measures. So these are not candidates who are on the ballot, but rather questions. Measures, sometimes they come in the form of amendments to the Constitution of that particular state. Sometimes it's to adopt a particular measure. Shall the state do this, whatever it might happen to be? Sometimes a ballot measure will be to repeal a particular law that might already be on the books that is unacceptable to a lot of voters, and the ballot measure will say, shall we get rid of that particular provision? These ballot measures come in all shapes and sizes. They usually have a number. And based on what the question is, and again, it's a question for the voters, you have to understand, are you supposed to vote yes or no on what the question says? And here one has to be very careful, because sometimes the question on the ballot is, shall we do such and such? And obviously then a yes vote means that that's what's going to be done or implemented. But if it's a repeal, shall we repeal this bad law? Obviously you want to vote yes on the repeal if it's a bad law. If it's shall we repeal a good law, then you affirm the good law, but the way you affirm the good law is by saying no to the repeal vote. So it's all, and sometimes it's a little tricky. People don't if they don't pay close attention to the way that it's worded, you run the risk of voting the wrong way. So it's so important to see these ballot measures in advance, and that's why I want to look at a couple of them with you here that particularly pertain to our pro-life cause. We have West Virginia. Let's start with that one. West Virginia has a ballot measure this Tuesday. If you're in West Virginia or you know people who live there, spread the word about this. It's called Amendment 1. And let me read for you exactly what it says. Amendment 1 to the Constitution of West Virginia. What this amendment says is, a yes vote would add Section 57 to Article 6 of the West Virginia Constitution. Now, what does that mean? It would say, nothing in this Constitution secures or protects a right to abortion or requires the funding of abortion. Very, very good measure to be in any state constitution. Let me read it again. Nothing in this Constitution secures or protects a right to abortion or requires the funding of abortion. And let me talk about why measures like this are in fact coming up in various states. Because both people in the pro-life movement and people in the pro-abortion movement realize that the days of Roe versus Wade are likely numbered. There are changes going on at the Supreme Court level, changes favorable to us, changes that are moving things in our direction, changes that are favorable to the unborn and to the pro-life effort. So if in fact Roe versus Wade, which says that the states may not protect the unborn even if they want to, if Roe versus Wade were to go away, were to be reversed, then the states obviously would have the right to protect the unborn. In fact, depending upon the way that the Supreme Court rules, they might have the duty to protect the unborn, but let's say it just gives them the right. You may or you may not. The states want to be ready. The states want to be ready to have in place in their constitution measures that say, well, we will in fact protect the unborn, and want to make it easier than for state legislatures to take whatever steps they would need to take at that point to secure that protection. So a lot of this is in anticipation of that ruling, but a lot of it also has to do with things that can take immediate effect, such as restrictions already permitted by the courts on the killing of babies, or the restriction of funding of abortion, which is also very much permitted by the courts. And this is the other background to this. Overall, the numbers of abortions in America have been going down. But a disturbing trend has been that the number of abortions paid for by tax dollars has been going up. Now, as far as the federal level, we did a lengthy Pro-Life MAGA class the other day, talking about taxpayer funding of abortion. And we looked at things like the Hyde Amendment and other provisions in federal law and changes that are being made at the federal level to protect our taxpayer dollars from going towards the killing of children. But what we noticed there was that in federal law, there is the Hyde Amendment, which protects a lot, not all, but a lot of our taxpayer money from going to abortions, though there are exceptions and there are other funding streams. So the abortion industry is, in fact, paying for a lot of abortions. But the state level is another story, because on the state level, you have most of the states, or 32 of the states, take the same provisions of the Hyde Amendment to restrict funding for abortion and adopt it as state policy. However, 17 of the states continue to fund elective abortion with taxpayer dollars. West Virginia happens to be one of them. And in fact, the number, as I mentioned, of Medicaid-funded abortions, let me just tell you about West Virginia, that number has risen dramatically in recent years. Between 2003 and 2017, the number of Medicaid abortions more than tripled in West Virginia, going from 502 to 1,560 abortions. So a measure like this, Amendment 1, which you want to say yes to, is saying, as far as the West Virginia Constitution goes, no abortion and no funding of abortion. Put in another way, let's use the positive language, protect the children in the womb and protect our taxpayer dollars from going to those procedures that kill those children. That's Amendment 1 in West Virginia on the ballot right now in this election. Let me again read what it says. Nothing in this Constitution secures or protects a right to abortion or requires the funding of abortion. Now, excuse me one moment. I want to make sure that we make a little adjustment here in the camera. Yes, okay, there we go. And let me then move on here to the state of Oregon. Been out there many times, as I have been to West Virginia, spoken for the state pro-life convention, really great people out there. And there is a measure there in the state of Oregon called Measure 106. And again, you want to vote yes on this. This is a good one. So the vote, the pro-life vote on this is yes. And what does it say? Well, it's very similar to what we were just talking about for West Virginia. Let me read what it would do. It's a ballot initiative to prohibit public funds from being spent on abortions in Oregon. except when medically necessary or required by federal law. That's, again, protecting your tax dollars from going to abortion or from funding child killing. Now, in Oregon, every year since 2002, and Oregon is one of those 17 states that do allow taxpayer funding for elective abortion. Since 2002, taxpayers have paid every year for at least 3,300 abortions. And in 2016, Oregon taxpayers, the taxpayers, paid for some 40% of all the abortions taking place in that state. 40%. Paid for by tax dollars. This is absolutely outrageous. You know, most of the American people object to taxpayer funding of abortion. A good 60% in polls show their opposition to taxpayer funding of abortion. Even people who identify themselves as pro-choice tend by numbers almost half to say that they might be in favor of the choice of somebody to have an abortion, but they don't want to be the ones paying for it. So these measures should pass. They should pass. We would hope that they would pass in an overwhelming way. It has been shown, and even the Alan Guttmacher Institute has admitted, let me quote them, that the best studies found that 18 to 37% of pregnancies that would have ended in Medicaid-funded abortions were carried to term when funding was no longer available. In other words, if you ask the question, do these ballot measures work? If people say yes to these measures, as they should, would it in fact do something to end abortion and save babies' lives? Studies have been done to ask that question and to answer that question, and the answer that we're finding is yes. And the Alan Guttmacher Institute, they do lots of research on what's going on with abortion and abortion statistics and abortion clinics, and they themselves have said the best studies found approximately a third of the abortions, up to a third, sometimes more, of the abortions were stopped, and the babies were brought to term. Why? Because the funding for the abortions was no longer available by taxpayer dollars. Now, there's another amendment going on, and this is in the state of Alabama. Let's look at that one. Brothers and sisters, please spread the word about this on your social media, your emails, your contacts. If you have friends, family, or other contacts in these states, we need them to know about this. And in Alabama, we have Amendment Number 2. Right. In Alabama. And again, this is one you want to say yes to. Amendment 2. Now, those other ballot measures I was just looking at got onto the ballot through direct action from the people. This one got onto the ballot through action of the legislature. We want to say yes to this one. And let me read what it would do. It would declare, it says it's an amendment to the state constitution, okay? It's an amendment to the state constitution. And it would say that the state's policy is to recognize and support the sanctity of unborn life and the rights of unborn children, including the right to life. It would furthermore ensure the protection of the rights of the unborn in all manners and measures lawful and appropriate. And it would say, nothing in this Constitution secures or protects a right to abortion or requires the funding of abortion. So it is saying yes to the unborn, yes to the right to life. It is saying no to abortion. and it is saying no to the funding of abortion. Pretty good amendment. That's in the state of Alabama. That's on the ballot in this election. Go out and vote for it if you're in Alabama. And if you know people in Alabama, please let them know about this measure. This brings, brothers and sisters, to our minds the consideration. Then there are other ballot measures in various other states, but these are the ones specifically dealing with the unborn and with abortion. And pro-life people have succeeded in the past in passing pro-life measures in these kinds of ballot initiatives in other states. But what this brings to mind is that elections are not just important on the federal level. Every election, 2018 being no exception, is so very important on the state level. State laws. In the last several years, hundreds of state laws have been passed, have been enacted, slowing down the engine of abortion, putting obstacles up to the killing of children, making it more likely that moms will choose life by giving them more information, making it less likely that those moms will be harmed by strengthening protections that exist even if they get an abortion by through clinic regulations, because the abortion industry is the most unscrupulous, unregulated industry in the nation. State laws can step in and do something about that, make sure that women in these abortion facilities know their other options, give them a chance to even see their child on ultrasound, give them more information about the risks of the procedure and the alternatives to abortion. So many laws. I want to review, in fact, some of the state laws, but I want to bring to your attention here that the state legislators are so important. Because even while we work for the reversal of Roe v. Wade on the level of the Supreme Court, and even while we labor hard for federal laws that would give protection to the unborn and take money away from the abortion industry, a lot of these things are happening on the state level, and the courts give the states a lot of leeway to define their own interests, you know, in protecting children. You know, abortion is not an absolute right under the laws of our country. It's not an absolute right under the decisions of the courts. The courts give a lot of leeway to the states to say, listen, you do have an interest in protecting that unborn child, and you can put measures in place to regulate abortion, again, as I mentioned, through, for example, the involvement. So many states have parental involvement laws. If a minor is going to get an abortion, you have to either inform the parents or get the consent of one or both of the parents. Again, 24-hour waiting period. You can't just walk in the door and have an abortion. Many of the states have put in waiting periods. You have to go first, get information about the abortion, about the development of the unborn child, about the alternatives to abortion, about the risks to the procedure. Again, not every state, but again, this is why we're saying it depends on these elections. It depends on who we're electing as our state legislators to see what kinds of laws there will be. But what I'm saying is that the courts have permitted these kinds of laws, and even outright direct protection of the unborn child after certain stages of pregnancy. So, for example, certain states have put into place protection of children in the womb from partial birth abortion. Various states have put into place protection of children in the womb from abortion after 20 weeks, the Pain Capable Bill. Other states have put into place protections for children from any kind of dismemberment abortion. These things can be done at the state level. It all depends on what kind of legislators we are electing to the state legislatures, and it all depends on what kind of governors we are electing. Make sure you know if they are pro-life. Now, we've done an entire program. We've done two programs here on where to find voter guides, where to find detailed information, even about the candidates on the state level, and votinginfo.org will bring you to all the various links that we have talked about. We're even going to continue to update that even during these last days before the election. Votinginfo.org. You can find out about those who are, if your state, first of all, if your state has a governor's race, you can find out about it there. What district you are in for your state legislature and who's running, you'll find out about it there. And what we find on the state level is also true, as we find it at the federal level, that the Republican Party platform is pro-life, is in favor of the protection of the unborn. The Democrat Party platform is pro-abortion. That is true. If you know nothing else about the candidates, you see what party they belong to, and this is likely going to be their stance. And it's certainly going to be the position of the party, pro-life, pro-abortion, Republicans being pro-life, Democrats being pro-abortion, on this matter of the right to life of the children in the womb. Now, this book that I have here is called Defending Life. This is all about state legislation. The kinds of things, this is one of the guidebooks that we use. Our friends over at Americans United for Life have put this together. It has each state and the ranking of the state and the various state laws and the various opportunities for further state legislation. And this is an important guidebook as we work with the various states and travel through the various states promoting the right to life, knowing what the situation is in those states. Now, here are some of the kinds of bills that have been considered in various states recently. And again, it'll give you an idea of how much can be accomplished in this election if we pay attention to who is running for state legislator and support those pro-life candidates. Informed consent, as I mentioned, but there's more than one kind of law about informed consent. You can have a law that specifically says people must be told, for example, that there is now a protocol in place whereby a chemical abortion, which takes several days, can, even after it has been initiated, be reversed. When the mom, as she often does, changes her mind midstream about going on with that chemical abortion and doesn't want to take the second set of drugs that has been given to her to kill that baby, can it medically be reversed? The answer is yes. And so there are now some states passing laws that say, well, then tell her that ahead of time. Let her know. Let her go into this with eyes wide open and fully informed and equipped to know that should she change her mind in the course of this process, there is a medical protocol for still saving that baby. Not that it will always work, but it works a very good percentage of the time. Other bills that have been introduced in various states, bills acknowledging that life begins at conception. Other bills dealing with the defunding of the abortion industry in that state, protecting your tax dollars from going to abortion. Constitutional amendments, such as we see now in this election going on in Alabama, for example. Pregnancy Resource Center recognition. The state legislatures can recognize the pregnancy centers. And some states, for example, with the Choose Life license plates, are directing funding towards adoption services in those states. Admitting privileges laws, saying that the abortionists have to have admitting privileges at local hospitals, another way of ensuring more protection for the moms who go to these abortion centers. Dismemberment bans, as I mentioned already, protecting babies from dismemberment abortion. Born Alive Infant Protection Acts, laws that would say if a baby is born alive after a failed abortion, that baby must be protected. States are introducing those kinds of laws. Fetal remains, laws that govern what happens to the bodies of the babies that are torn apart in the womb by abortion. States are introducing these kinds of laws to show at least that much dignity for the unborn child by the proper burial of those bodies. Fetal homicide laws. If a mom is driving to an abortion facility and the car gets struck by a drunk driver and the baby is injured or died, is that drunk driver liable for injury or death to that child in many states? The answer is yes, that child is recognized as a second victim. Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, protecting babies after 20 weeks of abortion. Abortion pill reporting. How much the abortion industry operating in a certain state has to report to that state about the procedures that are being done. Well, that's important. That's keeps a certain measure of control and discipline on a very out of control industry. Prenatal Non-Discrimination Act. Now that's interesting. Regulating that an abortion may not be performed simply because you don't want a black baby or a female baby. Abortion Non-Discrimination Act, stopping prejudice from being the motive for an abortion. Although, we must say, every abortion is prejudice against the unborn simply because they are unborn and in the womb. Parental consent notification or end notification, wrongful death actions, ultrasound requirements that the abortionist would be required to show the baby on ultrasound or give at least the option to the mother to see her own baby. Heartbeat bill. Some states have gone so far as to say that if a heartbeat can be detected in that baby, the baby is to be protected. Well, depending on what method you use, heartbeats can be detected at 12 weeks or even at 6 weeks. The heart actually starts beating at 18 to 21 days. Other requirements on abortion facilities. When we say requirements on these facilities, we mentioned about the abortionist needing to have hospital admitting privileges, but we're talking about the proper sterilization of instruments, not using expired medications, having hallways large enough to fit a gurney through if there's an emergency, having emergency medical equipment on hand, having power generators to protect people who might be undergoing procedures when the power goes out. Power just went out here the other night when I was doing one of these broadcasts. What do these abortion facilities do if they're in the middle of a procedure? Then we have protections from coercive abortions is another thing that can happen on the state legislature. Again, need to be electing pro-life state legislators. Protection from forced abortion. Most of the abortions in this country are forced in one way or another, and it's not a free choice. That's ridiculous. But are there laws in place that abortionist needs to find out before putting his hands on that woman or her baby, are you being forced into this? Who's pressuring you? And even just asking that question, so important. Conscience protections. How in your state are medical personnel protected when they say they don't want to perform or be participants in an abortion? Do they have to risk their job in order to take that moral stance? And abortion reporting, some states don't even report their abortions to the Centers for Disease Control, and that can also change. Now, there are, therefore, these and many other opportunities. This book is publicly available, AUL.org, Americans United for Life, AUL.org. Let me put that down here, because if you see what kind of state laws there are and possibilities there are, you will be more motivated not only to elect the right kind of state legislators, but to communicate with them throughout the course of the year to work for pro-life legislation on the state level. The book is called Defending Life. Just like pro-life state legislators will push for pro-life bills like the ones I mentioned, and I did not even give you an exhaustive list. There are many other kinds of bills and laws. So the pro-abortion state legislators will be pushing and are pushing for pro-abortion legislation. For example, loosening parental consent laws. So laws may have been put in place years ago saying that an underage girl getting an abortion has to consult with her parents first, or they have to be informed, or they have to consent. Now the pro-aborts, if they take over these state legislatures, they won't hesitate to go in there and introduce measures to pull back on some of that stuff and to get it off the books altogether. Requiring religious employers to cover abortions. Repealing bans on telemed abortions where you don't even see the doctor in person, you just order it over an online connection. restrictions on pregnancy resource centers. Well, we saw even a case going all the way up to the Supreme Court recently, whereas some states like California were trying to say to the abortion facilities that they, to the pregnancy centers rather, that they had to advertise the abortion facilities. Absolutely crazy. Enshrining Roe v. Wade in state law. Just like we saw laws that again, like Alabama now, having the ballot initiative, but in the state legislatures, we also see these efforts to say, well, in our state, there is a right to abortion. In Alabama, they're saying the opposite. This constitution does not provide a right to abortion. But if pro-abortion people are in control, they'll push the other way. So that even if Roe versus Wade is overturned in that particular state, they'll say, oh, well, okay. Well, it's not under the federal constitution, but it's under our state constitution. We have to keep abortion legal. Insurance coverage, the pro-aborts will try to repeal restrictions of abortion coverage in insurance plans or remove informed consent laws or implement state funding where it doesn't exist or more state funding for abortion where it does exist but is limited. All of this to say, vote pro-life on the state level also, not just the federal level. Pay attention, because this battle over abortion is both federal and state. Of course, it's international too. But on the state level, my urging to you, pay close attention to what races there are on election day, this coming Tuesday. Spread the information in your state and spread again the information on those ballot initiatives in Alabama, in Oregon, and in West Virginia. Voters in those three states, let's have a great victory on Tuesday. Because, you know, this impacts the whole nation. Friends, don't just think this impacts just your state. Because then as part of the news, oh, here's how the election turned out, you know, both sides will be looking at how did those pro-life ballot initiatives go? And the whole nation, all the pro-lifers from coast to coast will be encouraged. If West Virginia and Oregon pass those measures protecting their state dollars from going for abortion, everyone will be encouraged. If Alabama revises its constitution to protect the unborn, everyone's encouraged, and then people in other states will be encouraged to introduce similar measures. But if they don't pass, what the abortion people will say is, oh, you see, the tide is turning in this country. People don't want restrictions on abortion. They don't want restrictions on abortion funding. They'll try to use that, and they'll use it very effectively as a talking point, as a marketing point, to try to hinder those kind of efforts in the other states. So we're all in this together. It all matters. And let's be strong and let's make this work. Contact people. Go out of your way. In fact, I urge people, take as much time off between now and the end of election day from your regular activities and even from your jobs, if that's open and available to you, and dedicate yourself to reaching people to get this election, make this election a success. Take the time, take the energy, reach out to people online, social media, whatever way you can, and let's get victories on the state level from coast to coast. Well, may the Lord bless you now and bless all your intentions and bless all your families and your activities and bless you and bless this country in this election. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And friends, could you please make a donation to us today? We're doing so much for this election and completely depleting our funds. So prolifedonation.org would be a great way also to, along with any contributions you're making to candidates and campaigns and political parties, please make one to us as we do this educational work. If this is helpful to you, you want to help it reach other people. You know, some of the money we use for boosting these programs. When we do these programs, there's a way of boosting it on Facebook to reach hundreds of thousands more people. And we can do that today if you go here today and give us a little donation at prolifedonation.org. We can make this work. We can make it work together. So thanks for spending some time with me. Father Frank Pavone here, Director of Priests for Life. Let's make America great again. God bless you.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.